All right, folks, welcome to the Creation Science Hour. This is Kent Hovind and my son Eric Hovind. We are sitting here on the 12th of the 12th, December 12th, 2003. We almost made it through the year, son.
Almost.
It's been exciting.
It has. Can't believe a whole other Christmas is coming around the corner. I should look forward to Christmas time.
You now have 1.5 kids.
1.5. Second one is in the oven cooking. Angelina Marie is cooking right now. And
Angelina Marie, is that what you're going to name her?
Second. I believe Angelina Marie is what we've come
get a good Bible name, like Meher Shalal Hashbaz or something.
That would definitely be interesting.
Yeah.
No, thanks, Dad. Thank you for not naming us.
Keep those grandkids coming. Good to have you. If you want to join us on the program, we have a slight phone problem. You won't be live on the air, but we will type out your question, and Rita or one of the ladies will hand us the question, and we'll try to answer it. What we're doing on this program is defending the Bible view that the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory is one of the dumbest and most dangerous ideas in the history of the world. It didn't happen. You didn't evolve. God created you in His image, and the image is getting kind of faded these days. It's like an old coin getting worn out, but we are still made in God's image, and we're going to answer it to God one day. He owns the universe. He created it. He makes the rules, and we've all broken His rules. We've all sinned, and we all deserve His judgment, but because of His great love, He's willing to forgive based on what Jesus did, not based on what you've done or what I've done, only based on what Jesus did on the cross. He's willing to forgive and save. So 35 years ago, I prayed and asked the Lord to save me, and He'll do the same for you if you'll ask Him. That's our goal here. We want to strengthen your faith in the Word of God. If you're not a Christian, we want to get you converted. That's our goal. We'll tell you right up front. We want to get you converted to the Lord. We think everybody ought to go to heaven with us, or just go to heaven, period. Maybe not today, but you ought to go, okay? Make sure you're going to heaven. What we've done here for the last couple of programs, we're doing an analysis of some of the anti-Hovind websites. We've been talking the last two programs about Mr. Carl Mary Church's program, his anti-Hovind website. The only reason we picked that one first is because if you'd go to Google, a search engine, and type in Kent Hovind, about 1,000 times the hits comes up. My first one is our website. Second one is his website, geocities.com/Kent Hovind. And so that's the only reason we picked on Carl's, is because his came up for, his been up for a long time. Jonathan, how long has his been up there, you think?
A couple years.
Okay. And so he's griping in emails to us. What's he saying, Eric?
Recently he was writing an email to Jonathan saying, I didn't realize a debate was going to take place. If a debate happens, usually the opponent is notified and you're able to respond. This is not a debate, is it?
Well, he's welcome to call in.
Yeah, Carl, if you're listening and you'd like to call, feel free to give us a call. It'd be great.
This is not a debate.
The number is 877-479-3466.
Oh, he's in Australia.
That's true.
850.
Yeah. Got to do that.
850-479-DINO. 850-479-3466. You can call in. We can't be on the program tonight because the phone system glitched, but
write down your question, or Monday we'll be back. If you have AOL, our screen name is DR, D-I-N-O, Dr. Dino, then Live, L-I-V-E. That's the screen name here, so feel free to
Dr. Dino Live.
Instant message us. The questions that you ask that are not related to what we're discussing, we will discuss in the last 20 minutes of the program.
Right.
So that'll be at 20 till 6 o'clock Central Time.
But
we'll answer all those for you.
Carl's website has been up for years. This is not a debate, though I'd be glad to make it one any day, Carl. If you want to have a debate on creation evolution, you just let me know. I'll be glad to do that. This is an analysis of your website. Your website is called An Analysis of Kent Hovind, and you've asked many times in email correspondence if we would tell us what we thought. I'm sorry, I really have other things to do than this, okay? It's been a very busy day. It's been a very busy month. Actually, it's been a very busy lifetime, okay? I got to bed really late last night, got up really early again. And I work really hard all day, so this is not a high priority for me to read what the skeptics say. I'm too busy doing, I think, what God wants me to do, winning souls and reaching those who want to hear. However, if you want to make it a debate, that's perfectly fine. The fact that you're not on the air with me doesn't bother me at all. If you want to be on, that's great. So you gave an analysis, and I'm on. If you go to that website, folks, if you want to follow along, geocities.com/Kent Hovind, and we will do as many of these as are necessary. A lot of these sites, they link to each other. It's all the same stuff over and over.
Yeah, if you go down to the very bottom of the page on his homepage, it links to another site, and it's just basically the exact same information that somebody else has tried to put in a slightly different way. So it looks like there's a lot of them. Really, it's just the same stuff kind of regurgitated in a slightly different format.
All right, so if you want to follow along, I'm on the home page. Well, the first one is the introduction. We went through that the first program. Who is Kent Hovind? We went through some of that. I taught high school science 15 years. I've been doing evangelistic work about 15 years on the subject of creation evolution. Then we went through the $250,000 challenge. He's upset because nobody knows who's on the committee. We explained all why. And then what about the assault and battery charge? That's on there. There's a professor in Mr. Hovind. He's upset that I don't remember the name of the professor that I rode with on the airplane.
Yeah, Carl, by the way, let's just go ahead and say that that's a really silly reason to be upset. No offense, but, I mean, come on. Just because you don't remember somebody's name, you're going to blast Dr. Hovind?
I forgot my wife's name on our third date.
Wow.
Okay. So,
careful, Dad, what you say. He may add that to the website.
I'm sure he will. I just, I am not really good with names, but I... We do a lot of rubber band shooting here at Dinosaur Adventure Land.
Oh, man.
And airplanes.
If you are listening right now and you have not learned the scientific way to shoot a rubber band or to shoot an airplane and to make an airplane, we make paper airplanes here that go over 300 feet. What does this have to do with creation evolution? Nothing. However, it does teach us that an ordinary object that is properly prepared and properly motivated can go a long ways. These airplanes are incredible. It's on the website, isn't it? How to make the airplanes? Yeah, go to Dinosaur Adventure. Adventureland.com or go to drdino.com.
Both of our websites have it.
Look around and you can see how to make the paper airplane. To shoot the rubber band. Oh, you got...
Don't show the radio people that. Some people should not learn how to do that.
That's very true.
And
some of you out there
listening,
we probably use this...
We need a signed notarized statement from that. You probably should not have learned how to do that.
I should not have. Okay. I'll agree with that.
I was in California a couple weeks ago staying in an 18-story hotel.
Ooh.
And I told the bellboys, I said, I think I can make my airplane go to the top of your motel. Said, no way. I said, yeah, that's why I put about 10 of them, 30 feet over the roof. You know,
wow.
Could have been a 21-story, but that's another story.
Yes.
Would have made it. Anyway, back to the story here. Carl, if you're listening, glad to have you on the program. If you want to be on, you can call in 850-479-DINO or go to drdino.com and then click on the Creation Science Hour button and then go to AOL Instant Message. Or just, what's the other AOL, I mean AOL...
Screen name.
No, Dinosaur, Dr. Dino Live.
Dr. Dino
See,
Live.
That's what we got it written right out of there, under the camera. Okay. So we're going through Carl's analysis of Kent Hovind, just to give a chance to defend myself. This is America, not Australia, Carl. You get a chance to defend yourself over here. You know, you guys turn in your guns and roll over and play dead. We don't do that here, okay? We keep our guns.
Yes.
Loaded, actually. Okay. He says, the professor and Mr. Hovind, he's upset because I don't answer who the professor was. I don't remember, okay? But the story's true, and that's what professors do believe. They do believe they came from a rock 4.6 billion years ago. That is what they believe.
It's tough for them to narrow it down to those
terms.
They
don't see it like that, okay? Because in between the rock and the today, they got billions of years, and they think that fixes it, you know, like a fairy tale. You know, if a man drifts through the air quickly, or if he drifts through the air slowly, they're both impossible.
Yeah.
Okay. Then he talks about an evangelist confronts Kent Hovind. This, if I recall, was an old earth creationist who said, you know, the earth is billions of years old. Do you have that one up? See if you see anything specific there I should talk about on that one.
I really didn't see anything other than he's saying, look, you're doing a lot of damage to Christianity. I tried to warn him in Christian love. Now we have to treat him like the world because he did not heed the advice and did not heed that.
His advice was I should stop emphasizing the Bible is literally true and, you know, Genesis story is true and start compromising.
Yeah.
Okay, well, tough.
We don't plan on compromising God's word. We hold to exactly what it says, and that's not something we're into. So if you'd like to go against the word of God, you go ahead. I'd rather stick with what he says.
And those that don't believe what I say had better get busy because I'm speaking about 800 times a year, and you're speaking, I don't know, 300 or 400 times a year in total, and so...
It's getting around. No doubt about it.
Better get moving. Okay. Does Hovind have a real PhD? We answered that one yesterday. A warning from Answers in Genesis. Okay. Yeah. Ken Ham, good friend of mine. You went to school. Ken Ham was one of your teachers.
Yeah, Ken was one of my teachers. I like him. Fairly nice guy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've tried everything I can to be friendly with Ken Ham. I love their ministry. Don't want to hurt him in any way.
No.
We have a few differences of opinion on a couple little things. I think they're very minor. They wrote an article, you know, 15 things the creationists should not use.
And the reason for that is because of their research. The research they had done showed that it was an absolute positive proof. Therefore, the evolutionists could poke holes in it. Therefore, you shouldn't use it so that the creationists don't look bad. Is that correct?
Right. And I got 300 phone calls saying, why do you still use, I don't know, 4 or 5 of the 15? They're right on you know, 10 of them, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Okay. So I got so many calls, and my response is, hey, if I get 100 calls on something, I might as well do a frequently asked question and add it to our website. So buried in our website is my response to their 15 arguments creationists should not use. Well, that generated from them a front page blast of Kent Hovind of all the things, I'm wrong. Okay. I didn't respond. I'm done. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight them. They think they're right. I think I'm right.
We're going to leave it at that. We still want to be friends with Ken and don't have any problems at all. We support his ministry. We sent money to his ministry. They're going to build a great museum that is going to be open probably in 6 or 7, maybe 8 years. That's going to be absolutely incredible. He's going to do a lot for the cause of Christ and a lot for creation.
Right.
So we're not about to try to bash that. No way.
I'm for him. Don't want to hurt him. Don't want to. This infighting is unnecessary.
Yeah.
During the World War II, British had a general named Montgomery. Nobody could stand him. Okay. But Montgomery, it was a good general in many ways, but he didn't have a good personality.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Eisenhower and didn't like him. Nobody seemed to like Montgomery. It's just kind of interesting. Two people can be fighting for the same cause and be very different people.
Yeah, have personality conflicts. We're not saying that Ken has a bad personality or anything. Do not try to take us that way and go down that road, but we're just saying there's a
conflict. Look at Jesus' disciples. He had Judas Iscariot. He had Matthew the tax collector. Matthew the tax collector worked for the Romans. He also had Simon the Zealot. The Zealots were the anti-Roman, go blow up the bridges kind of guys, you know. They were trying to throw out the Roman Empire and establish their own kingdom.
I'd say there was some personality
both disciples
there.
Okay. So it's okay to have a variety of opinions in the kingdom, and praise God. They're always welcome to come down here, and I love what they're doing.
Yep.
Don't want to fight them. I'm done with my response. If you think their response is better than mine on some of the little issues we talked about, give me a call on those specific ones, and I'll be glad to discuss it. Okay, I think I can defend my opinion.
No
the six impossible things before breakfast that Carl has here is not worth discussing. His quacky quotes, I'd be glad to discuss any of those. I've got what I wanted to get to is a couple of Patriot University. We talked about that. Show me the money. He's saying here, he took the number of tapes we sold and the total revenue minus the expenses for the tapes and the employees, et cetera, and says we're making a net profit of $684,000. Well, Carl, first place, it's none of your business, okay?
Right.
Secondly, you don't have a clue. Thirdly, none of this is mine. I don't know what company you work for, if you work for anybody. I'm not sure how old you are. Judging by some of the stuff I saw on your website and the spelling and stuff, maybe you're not even out of school yet. But you have a website, which anybody can do, especially a GeoCities website. Anybody can do that one. Very low quality. Okay.
Hey, that's all right.
That's okay. It's okay, Carl. If it's all you can afford, that's great. But
we're not trying to attack personally.
Let's say you work for General Motors. And so I sent, look how much money Carl makes. General Motors brought in, $12 billion last year. Think about it. Okay. Think about it one more time.
We have added up the total amount that we have spent here at CSC that the ministry has. It was done last year. Actually, we're doing it again this year for the end of the year. We're doing it again. So you've been doing this traveling speaking, and it began about 15 years ago, right? How much was it last year? We figured it up. How much was it last year that we had spent?
We had spent all of it.
That's right. That's what it was. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. All of it. And then some.
And then some,
and
actually.
Then some. Yes.
That's what we did. Okay.
No doubt.
So I'm on, let's see, Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire. He's going through some of the supposed lies here that I have. Now, he has nine lies. I'll be glad to take any of these. If some of you are listening and want to call in and go through some of those.
Or if you want to AOL instant message, just ask us the question. If you see something in there that you say, hey, we really think you ought to hit this, please let us know that and we'll be happy to
talk. I'm just going
to
take randomly a couple of them. I spotted number 3. 552,000, the prediction that wasn't. Okay. He says that I said the New World Order was going to reduce the population of the earth to 500 million by May 5th of the year 2000. And he said I said that basically in my seminar in before 2000, obviously. Well, Carl, you have it wrong, okay? What I did is I flashed up on the screen a picture of a book, which I have here someplace. If I had time, I could get it. A picture of a book by a New Age author who said that the spirit guides had told him that there would be a reduction in the population by May 5th of the year 2000. I never said it's going to happen. I simply said one of these idiots said it's going to happen.
Yeah. And I think it's important to note out that many times throughout the seminar, and even now, what we do is we quote other things, trying to give people an education of what's out there. We're not – many things that we quote doesn't mean that we claim that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Carl, I did not claim the world's going to come to an end or that – and you told us to critique your site and tell you what needs to be removed. This needs to be removed, okay? I expect to say that with all the lies. Number 4, falsely claiming bankruptcy. Okay, here's what happened. There was a disagreement 8 or 10 years ago with the IRS over a couple things, and they came and stole my cars.
And I was here. Yes, they did steal the cars.
I was gone.
Yeah. My dad had just left.
Totally illegal. They don't do anything illegal unless they, get forced to. They came and stole my cars. Okay. A friend of mine said, hey, before you, what they do, their approach is steal your property, and now let's negotiate. Okay. That's the police, too, by the way. We're going to lock you up and handcuff you and put you in the back of the car. Now let's talk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hang on just a second.
You can't defend yourself. Okay. Well, a friend of mine said, well, if you want to get your cars back and then negotiate with them, file bankruptcy. I said, but I'm not bankrupt. They said, it doesn't matter. You file bankruptcy, and that filing causes them to give your cars back, and now you can negotiate on level ground. Okay. Well, I filed bankruptcy at his advice, and made a couple. I'd never done anything. Zero. I knew, didn't know where the courthouse was.
Yeah.
I knew nothing about the legal system. Okay. I don't get in trouble. I try to stay out of trouble. I didn't know where it was. I had no idea what to do. I'd never filled out a legal paper in my life that I knew of. Anyway, so I filled out this 12-page bankruptcy form they gave me, and I made a couple of mistakes. The IRS jumped on the mistakes and said, Judge, we want this thrown out as a bad filing. That's common. They always try to get things thrown out. Okay.
Right.
And so the judge agreed. I have made some mistakes, and they threw out the filing. End of story. we're not bankrupt, and this is so dumb that this is still on the Internet. Years later, you're lying here, Carl. You need to have that one removed.
And it's kind of silly anyway. I mean, it's a mute point.
Number 7, Darwin in the eye. I claim that Charles Darwin said that, and I quote right from the book, and I've got his book in my suitcase, which is in my daughter's office in there, that Darwin thought the complexity of the eye was so complex it seemed absurd to believe it could have evolved by chance, that natural selection could have created the eye. And then Darwin goes on for 4 pages or whatever saying, but I think it happened anyway. Okay. The fact that Darwin goes on and talks about it some more and says, well, it might have happened anyway, doesn't help the story at all. Okay. It's true that Darwin said that. I quoted directly from the book. I got the quote right. And I gave the page number, at least for the edition I have of Darwin's book. So I didn't lie about it. Carl, you're wrong to say Hovind lied about Darwin's quote. I didn't. It's perfectly fine. And we could talk about all these. I wanted to get to...
Can you comment just for those that are listening, the recapitulation versus homology? He says, he's basically saying these are two different things, and you're claiming that they're the same thing. He says, ontogeny, recapitulates phylogeny.
Okay, then he doesn't understand what I'm saying. This is in my seminar, we go through point after point after point. Point one was the recapitulation theory, which was made up by Ernst Haeckel, that said the baby growing in the mother goes through the stages of evolution.
Right.
It recapitulates it goes through the stages of fish, amphibian, reptile, mammal.
F-A-R-M, farm.
Farm. Okay. This whole thing is baloney proven wrong.
Yep.
Then second point I go into is the homology argument that the bones in your wrist are similar to the bones in a whale's wrist, proving we're related.
And he's trying to say that we're claiming they're the same thing.
Yeah.
We're not. So
we're
take
right,
that part
we're
out.
Right on both we're issues. Okay, take that part out. Recapitulation theory is taught. It is wrong. It is not only wrong, it's dangerous.
Homology is also taught and is possible that there's another explanation. Okay, so we have similar forms. Maybe that proves a common designer, not a common ancestor. Carl, let's think
right.
about this.
The lug nuts from a Pontiac will fit on a Chevy. That proves they both evolved from a Honda 14 million years ago. That's this kind of logic
that's,
we have.
That's
here.
The logic, yeah.
Okay, let's see. Are you being brainwashed? I just clipped a few sections out of here. To understand why Hovind makes the comments below, you must realize, Carl, you got that one misspelled. Okay, fix realize. Okay. His audience is made up of lower educated right-wing Americans who feel strongly about atheism, communism, and educated elites.
Those of you that are listening right now and just heard that, Carl stating that we are talking to you if you believe in creation, and you are the... how did he phrase that?
Lower educated. I can spell...
Lower educated.
I can spell realize, Carl. See you after the break. Come back. All right, folks, welcome back to the Creation Science Hour. This is Kent Hovind and my son Eric Hovind talking to you live on whatever it is, doesn't matter, December the 12th. So if it's a different date,
then you're not
hopefully
here
we're still life. Alive, but yeah. The program is not. We're going through the website. If you want to be on the air, we can't today. Sorry about that. You can
too bad.
Call in, though, and the secretary will type out your message and get it to us. The number to call is 850-479-DINO, 850-479-3466, or AOL Instant Messages at Dr. Dino Live. D-R, do you have to put the space in there, Jonathan?
They can
if they want. D-R-D-I-N-O-L-I-V-E, Dr. Dino Live is our screen name.
We're discussing geocities.com/Kent Hovind, a website that is supposedly analyzing Kent Hovind and checking out exactly what he believes and trying to poke holes in it so far. Kent Hovind's still doing good. The guy who apparently has this website up, Carl Merrychurch, isn't doing so hot. So we are right now, if you go to the homepage, then click on Are You Being Brainwashed? We're talking about his comments on a little booklet that we have published called Are You Being Brainwashed? By Your Public School Science Books.
Sure. We have published this booklet. It's gone through several revisions and editions. We're always trying to improve what we do around here.
Yep.
And he says, to begin his critique here, to understand why Hovind makes the comments below, you must realize, misspelled, that his audience is made up of lower-educated right-wing Americans who feel strongly about atheism, communism, and educated elites. This is, what's the term they use for this? An elitist comment, okay? Yeah. This is a person who basically says, I'm smart, you're dumb. Were you in the debate when I was.
Okay. Yeah.
That one professor was saying, well, the reason, you know, Hovind's winning this debate is because this audience doesn't understand the complexities of this subject, you know.
It is great.
I said, let me translate that for you, folks. What he just said is, I'm smart, you're dumb.
And the audience applauded. They were like, yeah, that's exactly
what he said. I didn't say that. I said, how many of you understood it that way? There's like 1,000 people
there. They all raised their hand. That's exactly what he said.
Exactly. And that's what all these evolutionists do. They think, well, if you don't understand evolution, if you don't believe in evolution, it's because you're dumb. I think it's quite the opposite, Carl. My IQ is over 160. I've taught high school science 15 years. I have a PhD in education. I may not be the smartest man in the world, but I'm smart enough to figure out I didn't come from a rock 4.6 billion years ago. And I think, well, 5-year-olds are smart enough to figure that one out. So I think most people should resent the fact that you call them uneducated, lower-educated, right-wing Americans. Okay? I don't know what you mean by right wing exactly. If the opposite is wrong, then yes, I'm right, okay? The opposite of right is wrong, then yeah, I'd rather be right than wrong.
Definitely.
Americans who feel strongly about atheism, I think it's a dumb idea. There has to be a creator.
Strongly God about doesn't communism. Believe in atheism.
I feel strongly about, yeah, God doesn't believe in atheism. I feel strongly about communism. I think it's a dumb theory. It doesn't work. The idea if you take away everybody's stuff and then redistribute it, all you got to do is look at any communist country. It doesn't work.
Nope.
70 years in Russia proved it doesn't work. Okay? So, yes, I feel very strongly about that.
I've been there. They're finally coming out, and they're finally, capitalism is actually something that is good for them now, something
right.
that is really helping
well,
them.
Your wife is from there.
Yeah, my wife's from Ukraine. So.
Yeah, we feel strongly about that. We do. We think that communism is basically, they want the authority at the point of a gun to take away your money that you work for, and the Bible teaches the opposite. You work hard, you make money, you spend it. It's yours, okay? The laborer is worthy of his hire. And educated elites, yes. I guess I feel education's a wonderful thing. Those who think they're better than others because of education, I get worried about that. I think it makes me a little nervous. So here's some of the quotes that I said. Dr. Stephen Gould becomes a Marxist professor at Harvard University in Boston, page 34. Carl, that's correct. Karl Marx was a Marxist. He admitted it over and over. I'm not saying anything wrong. It's true. He was a communist, okay?
Stephen Jay Gould was a Marxist.
Okay.
Who passed away this last year.
And an unnamed scientist is described as an atheist Russian astronomer. Again, I'm sorry, Carl, I forgot the name. Okay. I meet lots of people every week, and I forget names. Sorry about that. Okay. I don't know what's the four personality types. One has a hard time with names.
One can remember well, one can.
I remember numbers like crazy. Numbers, formulas, science things, you know.
Kind of like those two signs to a genius.
Three signs of a genius.
Three signs?
Yeah. Poor memory.
I don't know. Do you know what?
I forgot the other two.
Well, look at that. Oh, well.
True. Okay. And Ernst Haeckel becomes a German God hater. That's exactly true. Ernst Haeckel was a German God hater. I don't know what problems you got with that, Carl. Study his life, okay? Just study it.
We're not attacking Ernst Haeckel. We're telling you what he is.
Stating a fact. He was a German God hater. I happen to be one-quarter German and three-quarter Norwegian. I'm not against Germans. I've preached in Germany 3 times. I'm going back again in a couple of months. I'm not anti-German. I'm anti-error. I'm for truth. End of story, okay?
Exactly.
He says, scientific howlers. Evolution theory says that all life comes from a rock. Eric, you look through our textbooks we have here.
Yeah.
Do the textbooks teach, if you boil away all the fluff and feathers, that we came from a rock?
Unquestionably, yes, they do. And they if do. You have a... third grade, maybe fifth, sixth grade education in the public school system, you'll actually be able to read those books and see that is exactly what they're doing.
Right. If you're homeschooled, you can understand it by first grade, you know, private school maybe by second grade, public school maybe by sixth or seventh
now,
grade.
Now, we're not making fun of you out there if you go to public school. We're just saying the education has been proven not to be the absolute.
Quite up to snuff with the rest of it. Okay.
But that's fine. No problem with that at all whatsoever. That doesn't mean you're dumb. That doesn't mean we're smart. That doesn't mean any of that. We're not trying to say that, all right?
My brother is in his 34th year teaching public school. He led me to the Lord. Great godly man. So.
Yep. Love your teacher. Do the best you can. And stay away from drugs and alcohol.
Okay.
There you go. All right.
Amen. Scientific howlers, Carl Mary Church says, the periods of the geologic column are determined by giving an age to each rock based on how long they thought it would take for life forms to evolve from one kind to another. That's exactly how it happened. You better study the history of the geologic column. Study when they came up with this idea in the 1800s. This was 1831 is when the book was published, but the guys who came up with it were Strata Smith. They called him Strata Smith. He studied the different strata. All these guys, many of them believed in creation, but they thought the time it took a layer to develop, but you know, based on sedimentation rates, was some kind of indicator for how long it took to get the whole geologic column. They studied a few rivers, the sedimentation rates. That's how it was come up with. The whole thing is baloney. He says that I say, clams exist at the bottom of the geologic column, and read the whole quote, Carl, okay? In my seminar, I say, if clams are found at the bottom of the so-called geologic column, that's because they're already at the bottom when the flood started. That's where they live. You know, they live underwater. So obviously they're the first ones buried. Birds would be the last ones buried in a flood. We can go on through all the scientific hours. I will defend my position on anything I've said. If you disagree, give me a call. Mr. Orban goes to Arkansas. The state of Arkansas tried to pass a law banning lies in the textbooks.
Which, by the way, would be a great law. I mean, how many of you out there right now would like it if your kids were going to school and it was okay that they were being taught lies as fact?
I say, you know, if I said that the moon's made of green cheese, okay, that's a dumb theory, but it's okay to have dumb theories. Yeah. And then suppose I said NASA proved it when they went there in 1973. Well, now I'm using a lie to support my theory.
Yeah.
It's okay to have a dumb theory. It's not okay to lie about it. It's worse to use tax dollars to get paid while you lie about the dumb theory. Okay.
Yeah.
So we went to Arkansas and tried to get them to pass a law that said Arkansas will not spend tax dollars to purchase materials that contain knowingly fraudulent information. For instance, and we gave 10 or 15 examples. Jim Holt wrote the law. A good friend of mine lives in Arkansas, still Arkansas representative. Did a great job. And HB 2548, and he's got it on here. Where we talked about that law in Arkansas. So, yeah, I think it was neat. After I got done testifying for 45 minutes in front of this Arkansas Representatives Committee, a woman from the ACLU, the American Communist Lawyers Union,
not a lady,
got up there and said, folks, this is an anti-evolution bill. One of the representatives said, ma'am, evolution is not mentioned in this bill. Why would you say this is an anti-evolution bill? She said, well, everything used in this bill that you're talking, saying we can't teach is used to support evolution. And he said, well, ma'am, is it true that these things are wrong? She said, well, yes, but obviously this is an anti-evolution bill. Look, if it's a lie, take it out. I don't care if it supports your theory or not. That's not the point. The point is, if it's a lie, take it out of the textbooks, okay? Don't lie to get the kids to believe your theory. All right. What's the next section on there? It's about Hovind responds to his critics. Okay, by the way, with the Arkansas bill, what happened was the ACLU lobbied those representatives and congressmen so hard for the next 3 days that when it came time for an actual vote, 12 of them were scared to vote because they thought the ACLU would try to destroy their career.
Mm-hmm.
And so they took a walk, and the bill missed passing by 6 votes.
Because 12 people in Arkansas were scared to vote. So if you're in Arkansas, you need to write them guys and tell them, don't be chicken, vote for what's right.
Do what's right. If you lose your job, still do what's right.
That's what God says. Do what's right. Remember the little song when you were kids?
Do right.
If the stars fall.
Do the stars fall. Yep.
Do right. So we encourage you, as we try very hard to do right.
Okay. I've got a lot on his, I don't want to spend the rest of my life on Carl Murray Church.
Yeah, we got plenty of other
websites. Because he's probably getting more publicity now than he's ever gotten in his life. Okay. Probably that, you know, 20 people a year that look at his site or whatever it is, you know, couldn't care less. But I'm sorry for having to waste all your time on this, but I do want a chance to defend myself.
Plus, this will help other Christians, as other Christians genuinely seek the truth. They will be able to understand what Dr. Hovind has to say in defense for what has been said about him.
He has a section in here about Mattson versus Hovind. This is Dave Mattson, who wrote a website answering supposedly all the young earth arguments. We'll get into Dave Mattson's arguments when we get to his website. But here's what happened. I give a bunch of evidences that the earth cannot be billions of years old. Dave Mattson wrote a long dissertation on each one, and because he wrote on it, therefore he thinks, you know, I'm right. I had students that wrote all kinds of term papers, and, you know, the more they talked, the less they knew about the subject, obviously. He probably did that a time or two, try to snow the teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Just keep writing and writing and writing, and, oh, he must know something about this. Pass him, you know.
They really do read those.
Any of Mattson's particular arguments, most people can understand, can see right through most of them, okay? But if one of them gives you a hard time, before we get to that on this program, give me a call. Gail wants to message us now. We'll be glad to answer. Let's take the message we've got now. Is it appropriate, Eric, for this?
We're going to take this here in about 10 minutes in the second part of the break. We'll
okay. It's a baloney detector. What did I miss here? Hovind and the Hendersons. What is that one about?
I haven't seen that one yet.
Check through that. Oh, about cryptozoology, the study of hidden animals. Yeah. I agree. Hovind tries to argue, fourth paragraph, the case for pictures of dinosaurs in the 20th century. Now, the first question is, what does this have to do with young Earth? Well, Carl, my seminar and my ministry is a whole lot more than just proving it's a young Earth. We're proving evolution's a lie. We're proving dinosaurs lived with man. Dinosaurs may still be alive. I don't know. But there seems to be an awful lot of evidence that some still alive. So, and plus, what I put in my seminar is none of your business. You have zero control over it. We don't care what you think. All right?
If we want to teach the moon is green cheese, then we'll do that.
We're not going to teach the moon is green cheese, okay? But, so, yes, I think if you look at my website, drdino.com, and go to, where is it, under articles, Jonathan, about pictures of living dinosaurs? Dinosaurs in the 20th century, okay? I think there's pretty overwhelming evidence that dinosaurs have lived with man, and some may still be alive, and like the one that washed up on the beach in California. Okay, he mentions here about the... one has been rebutted, the sea monster or shark, probably from the Japan. I don't want to take time to go into back and forth all of his links here, about the article, I think from AIG, Let Rotting Sharks Lie. This is one of the things AIG was upset about, that, you know, I'm still mentioning the Japanese fishing boat caught the basking shark, or caught whatever it was, the plesiosaur. They claimed it was a plesiosaur. Some folks have tried to claim it's a basking shark. And I say in my seminar, I don't know what it was. But I do know the fishermen on board said, It's not a basking shark. The marine biologist on board that had it in his hand said, it's not a basking shark. He drew sketches of the bones. They made a special stamp for Japanese mail. And they threw it back. It stunk. It was going to destroy the whole cargo of fish. So, if it's a basking shark, so what? I don't know. But they didn't think it was. It's what I say in my seminar. The fishermen didn't think it was. The marine biologist didn't think it was. When they analyzed the protein from the sample that was saved, it was like 96% similar to shark protein.
And so some must be a basking shark. Huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, humans have 64 chromosomes. Chimpanzees have, 46 chromosomes. Chimpanzees have 48. Ooh. Wow, it's 98% similar.
Pretty close.
And they argue about how humans and chimps have a 98.6% similarity in their DNA. Actually, it's now 95%. They've revised the number down, but still, what does that prove?
Nothing.
It still proves humans and chimps are different.
Yep.
And so if this 98% similar or 96% similar to basking shark protein, that doesn't prove it wasn't a plesiosaur. Nobody's ever seen plesiosaur protein to know what it's supposed to look like. I've never seen any. So in my seminar, Carl, I simply say the fishermen said they thought it was, the Japanese government thought it was, the marine biologist thought it was. Some Americans that never touched the carcass said it wasn't. Oh.
Go figure.
Go figure. Okay. So I'm perfectly able to mention that this creature was found. They threw it back. I think it's another small piece of evidence in a much bigger puzzle that there are thousands of things like this that are cited.
How many reported sightings just in the last 100 years have there been?
Well, I have a whole section of the library. Annie organized it. I'm not sure where the cryptozoology section is, but we can find it, okay? There's probably two shelves of these books are just books about cryptozoology. Like Loch Ness Monster, Lake Champlain Monster. I have interviewed now 100 people face-to-face in front of a camera who've told me they have seen one. I was in British Columbia 2 weeks ago about speaking up there in Lake Okanagan, right at the town of Kelowna.
Yeah.
I interviewed 3 people on camera. I said, what did you see? They said, I saw a plesiosaur. Or describe it. 4 flippers, big body, long neck, swimming in Lake Okanagan. Thousands of folks claim they've seen that thing.
We're not saying all of them are true either, Carl. We're just stating that, hey, thousands of people claim to see it. If thousands of people claim to see something, then there could possibly be some
legitimacy
to the stories. There we go. Tough one to get out.
Hovind has co-authored a book, Claws, Jaws, and Dinosaurs, on the subject.
By the way, if you like one, feel free to call in or write us. It's only, what, $5?
$5, Claws, Jaws, Dinosaurs. If you want to get a bunch in quantity, we can give you a better price than that. You can give them out for a Christmas present.
I know the author personally. Great book. You better check it out.
It's written for probably junior age level, for kids to get interested in the study of cryptozoology, study of hidden animals, to make them stop and question, hey, maybe what I've been taught isn't true about dinosaurs living millions of years ago. Maybe they lived with man.
It's got pictures and stuff. It's a great little book.
Book's been very effective. Not a bestseller. I think we sold about 10,000 of them, but we got some left if you want to get the call in.
Yeah.
To drdino.com or get the Claws, Jaws, Dinosaurs. And he says, Hovind has written a book, co-authored a book with William Gibbons, by the way, who's been to the Congo 5 times, Carl, which is how research is supposed to work. You know,
you go there, you check it out.
Check it out. And he's been there, checked it out. He's convinced there are dinosaurs still alive in the Congo and Africa. I don't know if you've been there or not, but he has. And he and I authored the book together. And he says, I authored a book on the subject aimed at children, of course. Now, what does that mean? Aimed at children, of course.
You're trying to brainwash the kids, Dad.
Well, take a look at the textbooks to teach evolution aimed at children, of course.
Of course.
From kindergarten on. Hello. I'm aimed at teaching the truth, Carl.
These kids are being taught a lie, and somebody needs to teach them the truth.
We're
trying.
That's
just plain and simple.
Hovind also makes a few bucks out of
1 minute, Brad.
Modern dino-mania with fossil replicas.
Ooh.
We do make fossil replicas. We have a museum here.
That has brought in billions of dollars.
Billions of dollars. Billions. I just saw the list today, actually, of how many fossils we've made. And we're
okay, maybe not billions, but, you know, hey, we're making a dent.
Take off all the zeros. I think we made about a dollar, okay? We're trying to use them as a witnessing tool. Okay.
So and they do work great. I mean, a great conversation piece if you want to check it out.
Break time. He says, pay careful attention to the Paluxy tracks. We'll talk about that after the break. And then take your questions or calls. Call in, folks. Thank you. Join us in a minute. Hang in there. Welcome back, folks, to the final segment of the Creation Science Hour.
We've only got 20 more minutes here, so we have to hurry. We've got several more things we want to get in. By the way, just to let you know, the brand new 2003 seminars are now available online, absolutely free of charge. That doesn't mean we'll send them to you for free, but that means you can listen to them online for free, except for that big old, you know, online internet bill every month. Click on seminar online link at drdino.com, drdino.com, and you can check out the seminars right there for free, absolutely no cost. Order them if you'd like on DVD or VHS or audio or CD or MP3, pretty much however you'd like to get
it. And if you're within reasonable distance, you can still get them in time for Christmas. We're sending out
great Christmas presents.
Fossil replicas. Here's one of our T-Rex teeth, a copy of a T-Rex
tooth.
We've
got one here. Obviously, you can't see it out there.
Real dinosaur eggs. We don't have castings. These are three real dinosaur eggs. We like fossils. We're going to use creation. What do we have there? Oh, the corporalite.
Man.
We don't want to talk about that. Okay.
If you're ever here in your infant's cola, you got to come check out the museum where we've got all these great fossils, including the corporalite and the dinosaur eggs and the wonderful stuff to see
wonderful
and touch
stuff.
And handle. It's great.
Okay, he says, pay attention to the Paluxy castings. That imprint looks just a little too perfect. Can't be real. It's too perfect.
What would you expect a human footprint to look like,
I'm missing
Carl?
The logic here, Carl. Totally, okay? I'm totally missing it. Too perfect to be real. He said, it's ironic that Hovind is flogging faked castings just like the residents of Paluxy did in the 1930s. Well, Carl, you're lying, okay? I'm not flogging a faked casting, all right? I think it's a legitimate casting. I've been there 5 times to the Paluxy River. Dr. Carl Baugh lives there, has lived there for years, has the river running right through his property. I met with Emmett McFall, who died recently, but lived there for, 60 years on the Paluxy River and knows an enormous amount about the footprints. So you might want to go to Carl Baugh's website. His is creationevidence.org, and you can see what Dr. Baugh has to say about that. But don't accuse me of trying to peddle a fake footprint. I don't believe it's fake, or I wouldn't be selling it.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah, tell John Gussie that does our casting. This is so perfect, it must be fake. I'm sure we appreciate that. So he told us, what did he tell us to do about his website, John? Eric, he told us to.
Yeah, he's talking about his website here. We got to finish with that, and we're going to go on to some other things here, finish with his website, because I know you guys have lots more questions other than what is on his website. He said, basically, in correspondence with Jonathan, look, you show me the errors, and I'll be happy to correct them. Surprise me, be different. I haven't had a response from this request in 2 years. He's ready for the response. Here it is, a couple things to correct.
Well, let me tell you why it's been 2 years, okay?
Yeah.
I don't care what he thinks.
That's a very good point there.
Okay, I have other things to do. If all I did was read all these critical websites, I'd get nothing else done, okay?
We've already given 3 hours
True, I know.
To this.
So, I don't care what he thinks. Okay, the critics can be your best friend. I like people to analyze and do this kind of stuff, and you know, if I'm wrong, I'll change it. Honestly, I will. So far, I don't haven't seen anything that I need to change. That's for Victory Land, water, that I need to change. So, Carl, sorry. You asked us what to do. I think you should at least correct the mistakes we pointed out. My real recommendation, though, close this site down.
Yeah. Right?
Well, get a spell checker. Would not be one, okay? But I would just close the site down if it was me. I don't think there's anything in here worth keeping. The connection to Jack Chick. Oh, Jack Chick's a good personal friend of mine.
Yeah, and he doesn't really even say anything on there. All he says is, you know, hey, he's got a connection with Jack Chick, and then leaves it at that.
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
Yeah.
Jack Chick is doing a great job. He's about 75 years old and good friend of mine, and was out there, met with him a couple months ago when I was there. Doing a great job, yes. I love Jack Chick's work, have for years. He asked me to rewrite the Big Daddy comic book. I was honored to be asked by him, and so I rewrote the Big Daddy, added a few things, deleted some things, and I think updated it, basically. And it's really sharp. You can get them through our ministry, actually. So, yes, love what he's doing. Anything else you see that we have to cover?
I don't see anything that we have to cover. If you guys out there, if you guys have any questions about it, please feel free to write us or call us, and we can answer all the questions we need to on the subjects. He talks about Hovind attacks, the evolution theory, and supposedly all of the attacks are not true. I don't exactly know what he's trying to do there. But anyway, just call in if you're reading something and you say, hey, this sounds like a really good argument. I wonder what Hovind would say. Does he have the answers for this? And we'll be happy to hook you up with the answer. All right? Dr. Hovind can defend everything he says.
I'll try to. And I try to be careful in my seminar. I think you know, Eric, you've been there hundreds and thousands of times. But I'll say, well, there are several theories about this. If there's a controversy, like about Noah's Ark, there are 4 theories of what happened to Noah's Ark. I give all 4. That's a teaching tool, okay? Some folks who believe their particular theory think I shouldn't mention anybody else's theory. Well, okay, if I ever start working for you, then that's the way I'll do it. Meanwhile, I don't work for you. I'm going to try to do whatever the Lord tells me. So, if I try to be very cautious, if the Bible isn't clear or science isn't clear, I say, this is how it appears. Now, some people think you shouldn't mention it until it's absolutely clear. I think it's a good stepping off point for research is to understand what's been studied so far. Now, take it from there. Okay, let's forget Carl for a while. Carl, you probably got, like I said, more advertising in the last 3 programs than you've gotten in your life. And if you don't take the site down, it'll probably go back to oblivion where nobody cares. All right. Go ahead.
So, got a couple emails here, one of our instant messages here. This is from Michael in Southern California. Hey, Michael, thanks for listening. Glad you're out there. He says he's wondering if it was ever proved that Darwin became a Christian on his deathbed. I've heard a few stories about that, but no one knows if it's true. Hear anything about that? What do you think, Doc?
It's not true, apparently. Yeah. And I would again say, now, this is one of the points AIG is upset with me, because they say Darwin didn't repent on his deathbed. I say, I don't think we know for sure, but I think probably he didn't, okay? I would agree that he did not repent on his deathbed, but how do you know something from 18 years ago or 20 years ago? It appears that his wife made up the story that he repented on his deathbed, and so I don't know. I don't think anybody knows, but it appears it's not true, and I certainly don't use it in my seminar. Hopefully, I don't think I ever have. I know I don't. So I would never say Darwin repented on his deathbed. I think the story's bogus. Next one.
Next one says, I've noticed evolutionists always say you're oversimplifying when I make a great creation point, when it is actually them overcomplicating to try to make their science, their religion, a science. Do you have the same experience? Someone
Oversimplifying means you're removing all the smoke and people are seeing how dumb my argument is.
Yeah, that's probably a wise thing to do. I mean, hello.
You know, when I say, you know, do you believe you came from a rock? And what's his name? Pigliucci said, well, not directly. Okay. Well, you do believe you came from a rock. I was in a debate one time, and afterwards this lady came. Boy, she was upset. She was walking up the aisle, and I saw her come, and I thought, man, Lord, I'm coming home. You know,
yeah,
that lady's going to kill me. You can see the smoke in her ears and the fire in her eyes. She said, tonight, you said that we believe we came from a rock. We don't believe that. I said, ma'am, you better calm down. You're going to blow a gasket. I said, ma'am, do you believe in evolution? She said, yes, I do. I'm a professor at the university right here. I said, well, would you please tell me then where we came from? She said, we came from a macromolecule. I said, and where did that come from? She said, from the oceans, from the prebiotic soup. I said, and where did that come from? She said, well, it rained on the rocks for millions of years. And you can see it was slowly dawning on her. You know, I do believe I come from a rock.
That's exactly what I believe. Let's take away all the smoke. Now, do you remember her name?
I don't.
Oh, Carl, that's the website. That's the website, Carl.
Didn't happen. Hovind doesn't remember the name. It didn't happen.
Hey, they really do believe that. If you want to get them frustrated, go ahead and do that.
Hey, like, on the way back from lunch, did you see the guy go through the green light ahead of you?
Yes.
You remember his license number?
Ooh, no.
It didn't happen.
Ooh.
You're lying, son. It didn't happen.
Got me.
Go ahead.
All right. Next one, the seminar online. We can download at 56K QuickTime version of your 2003 seminar. He says he downloaded it, and it's frustratingly grainy. Will there be other versions available for download? Jonathan? Yes, there will be is the answer to that.
Eventually.
Steven. They're compressed for the web. Hey, I got a better idea. Send us $99, and we will send you DVD, top quality, no grain whatsoever.
Now, there's a couple grains on part three. You know, dinky.
Part three is,
yeah.
Okay. Well, overall, very professionally done, professionally made, and a great
Here's the problem. Okay. Well, Jonathan had all of our debates done for the web, put them online. We have a T1 line. Okay. And we spend $1,000 a month or whatever it is for this dumb thing.
Oh, that's giving up finances. Carl, put that on the website.
Yeah, deduct that from the... Anyway, this slowed down everything. Frustratingly slow, okay? So you either put it up grainy and lots of folks can watch it, or
put it up really sharp and two people
can watch it, or three, yeah. So we're working on that. If you want to buy us a T3, we'll put all kinds of stuff on there. So what's after T3? T4? T5?
A large check in the mail. Yeah,
a big pipe going down to wherever the water hose, yeah.
From Carrie F., how do we account for evolutionists saying that island chains were created over millions and millions of years over hot spots?
Well, the Hawaiian Islands, we've been there. You've been there
twice. Twice.
I've been there three times, I think.
That's kind of a sad story, you know. I mean, that preacher asking us to come all the way to Australia and making us stop in Hawaii for 3 days on the way there and then 5 days on the way back. Oh, this suffering for the Lord is just...
It's hard. Somebody has to do it, though, son.
Okay, we'll keep doing it.
We'll keep doing it. Yeah. It was rough. Love to Hawaii, beautiful islands. There's not much question in most people's minds that the Hawaiian Islands are indeed over a hot spot, with part of a crack in the crust of the earth, which is moving. And as it moves, you know, it opens up a new place, and eventually a new island pops up, or the island gets bigger. So, I agree. That doesn't prove the millions of years, though, part. Just because somebody's right on part of their science, like these guys are, so what? Okay, that doesn't prove they're right on everything, all right? And so, yes, I think the Hawaiian Islands are a hot spot. I think it's moving, but I think it happened since the flood when the fountains of the deep broke open. And the Bible says fountains of the deep broke open, Genesis chapter 7. That's probably when the cracks appeared, the fault lines appeared. Some of them are still moving. It's only been 4,400 years since that happened. Those are some of the testimonies that have been sent to us. Do you have any more ALS messages?
I got one more here from Prophetic. In Genesis, the Hebrew word for light that God created to make night and day is different from that used to describe the lights set in the firmament.
Correct.
Which are the sun, moon, and stars. So he's stating that those words for the word light are different.
They're different words, correct.
I ask mainly because, first of all, is that true? Yes, it is, Prophetic. I ask mainly because God created plant life on the earth before placing the sun in the firmament. Obviously, plants need light to survive. So what happened there?
Okay. Well, it's only one day difference. I mean, the plants on day three, the sun on day four, plants can survive fine for a day with no sun, number one. Number two, God is light. In English, we have one word, light, which actually means two things. This is a light, and it is producing light, which I see reflected off my hand. In Hebrew, they have two words, or and meor. They have a word for the light and a word for the source for the light. We only have one in English. We have one word, love. They have six words, you know. So yeah. Different languages have different number of words for things. Not a big deal. So God created light. He himself was light. If you read the Bible, for the first 13 verses of the Bible, there was no sun, but they had light. For the last, I think it's 17 verses of the Bible in Revelation, it says they have no need of the sun. There's no sun. They have no need of the sun, for God is the light thereof. The Bible starts with light but no sun. It ends with light but no sun. Read the last chapter of Revelation. Yeah, interesting.
He also asks, was the creation account written from God's perspective or man's? What do you think?
I think the creation account was written, the whole book of Genesis is written by 10 different authors. Apparently, God himself either wrote Genesis chapter 1 up through chapter 2, verse 4, or he told Adam what to write. But it changes authors in Genesis 2, 4, where it says, these are the generations of. We covered that, I think, on a previous program. If not, it's on our video 7. The phrase, these are the generations of, is the dividing of Genesis into 10 distinct parts by 10 different authors that Moses edited together. If you read Genesis 1, it says God, I think 31 times. If you read Genesis 2, it keeps referring to Lord God. Different word, different person writing. This is Adam writing Genesis chapter 2.
Very good. Hey, if you got any questions, we've got about 2 minutes left here. Go to AOL. The screen name is DRDINO, Dr. Dino Live, or call in and we'll try to take your question at 877-479-3466. We can't have you live on the air today due to technical difficulties, but we got a couple minutes here to read a couple testimonies. These are testimonies from people that have written in and said thank you for the ministry. Which one have you got there?
Lori Dunleavy writes in, God bless you for all your wonderful work in ministry. We've chosen to homeschool our children and have learned so much from your videos and books recommended on the site. All three of my children, ages 4, 6, and 7, absolutely love your videos. They often have a lot of questions. What a blessing to know that Scripture exists to answer any of their creation questions. In the name of Yeshua, the Dunleavys. Well, thank you. Glad you enjoyed that. We got less than a minute left. I don't want to leave the program without saying the reason we do our ministry here, and the 30-some people that work there, as my other son walked in back there running the camera, and we have people, dedicated folks here that love the Lord and want to do what's right. We want to win you to the Lord if you're not saved. If you're watching this program and you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, why not? He loves you. He hates your sin, and you have sinned, and so have I. You will be judged for those sins, but you can be forgiven based on what Jesus did. You don't get forgiven based on what you do. It's based on what Jesus did on the cross. 35 years ago next month, well, February 9th, 1969, I prayed and said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I want you to forgive me and save me right now. And based on what Jesus did, God is able to forgive me because His blood paid for my sins. And so now I have His righteousness put on my account on account of I don't have no righteousness. Okay? So when I stand before God, He sees Jesus, not me. You can have the same thing. Go to our website, drdino.com, and click the button, How to Get Saved. See you tomorrow. No, Monday.